Well, we're starting a new message series today called You Can Be Wise, and this is from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The title of today's message is The First Step to Wisdom. Everybody, we live in a culture that is absolutely starved for wisdom. Whether they realize it or not, they are starved for wisdom. And over the next several weeks, I want us to spend some time in this book of Proverbs, which is all about pursuing wisdom from God's perspective. The book of Proverbs is one of the most practical books in the Bible. You pair it with the book of James and the New Testament. Those are the two most practical books in the Bible in terms of they don't deal with heavy theological issues. They deal with life as we live it daily. We'll be talking about relationships, parenting, money management, life in a workforce, your emotions, the power of speech. Proverbs is all about pursuing wisdom from God's perspective. Now, everybody in this room, you're familiar with a proverb and what a proverb is. A proverb is a short, pithy statement that encapsulates wisdom in a few words. It might use a metaphor or a comparison, but you know what proverbs are. Now, we have non-biblical proverbs that we use all the time. For example, I want you to fill in some blanks. Two wrongs don't make a... The squeaky wheel gets the... Hello. There you go. When the going gets tough, the... Better late than birds of a feather. A picture is worth a thousand. There's no such thing as a free. Yeah, you're not too excited about that one, are you? The early bird catches. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. A penny saved is not much. That's exactly right. You can't judge a book. Two heads are... Okay, you're familiar with proverbs. We use proverbs all the time. It's a short saying of practical truth. Now, in this Old Testament book of Proverbs, the first nine chapters, it's like you're eavesdropping on a conversation between a wise parent and his child. But then starting with chapter 10, it's one pithy statement after another. And not from a human sage, but from the very heart of God himself. Now, proverbs are not promises. They're not guarantees. They are descriptions of the way life usually works. I mean, we all know that there's a principle in life that what you sow, you reap. That actions have consequences. And Proverbs is showing us the wise way to approach your money, your speech, your work life, your marriage, your family, etc. And there are no guarantees, but this is the way life normally, usually works. Now, what's interesting about Proverbs is that sometimes you'll read contradictory statements in the book of Proverbs. Yeah. One proverb will say, do not answer a fool according to his folly. In other words, there are some conversations you don't want to get involved with. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be dragged into that conversation. And then another proverb will say, answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll think he's wise in his own eyes. In other words, there are sometimes, well, I really don't want to get in this conversation, but I feel like I need to step in because if I don't, I feel like I've got something to offer. These are proverbs. These are from the heart of God. And it's all about pursuing a wise, meaningful life. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says this, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. And so this is the big idea. This is where we're going today. This is where we're going for the next few weeks. All about pursuing wisdom. And here's the way I would define wisdom. Wisdom is skilled action. Skilled action in the realities of life according to God's perspective. That's wisdom. Skilled action. Competence in the realities of life according to God's perspective. Now, if wisdom is so important, if it's more precious than rubies, why doesn't everyone run to wisdom? Because we tend to think we're wise in our own eyes. And we love to baptize our own opinions and our own perspectives. And to pursue wisdom means I have to receive and welcome correction, adjustment, discipline, training. Let me make a confession to you. I am not a humble man. I am a proud man, pursuing every single day to be more humble. And I am not a wise man. I am prone to be a foolish person. And every single day, I must pursue wisdom. But if I'm not careful, I love to baptize my own perspectives, my own opinions, and be wise in my own eyes. Will you be one of the ones who will run to wisdom? Well, today we're going to walk through the first seven verses in the book of Proverbs. Three main points. Here's the first one. What is the purpose of wisdom? And right out of the chute, he's going to tell us that one of the purposes of wisdom is correction about how things really are. In other words, the Bible will say, not like this, but like this. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon didn't write all of the Proverbs, but most. And here they are, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. You know what insight is. Insight is where something that's not obvious is now obvious to you. And the Bible is going to give you insider information so that you can have insight into relationships, into your money, into parenting that may not be that, and these insights are not obvious to everyone. So the purpose of wisdom is to provide correction and then also discretion about what should be done. Of everything I could say, what's the wise thing to say? Of everything I could do, what's the wise thing to do? Verse 3, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. Now, there's a word we don't use often, prudent. One of our former presidents used to say, wouldn't be prudent. You remember that. The Beatles wrote a song, Dear Prudence. It's really a word in this text. It means shrewd, but not conniving, not evil shrewd. Just full of wisdom and insight. Not asking, is it permissible? Can I get by with it? Is it legal? But what's the wise thing to say? What's the wise thing to do here? For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what's right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Hey, it's good to be young. It's good to be young in heart. But let me challenge everyone here. You need to make sure that you stiff arm chronological snobbery. Chronological snobbery is where you assume that real intelligence started the year you were born. And the world was completely clueless until you were born. You know, for me, I was born in 1971. And so for me to assume that, you know, wisdom didn't exist, knowledge didn't exist, no one had a clue about what to do in terms of religion or marriage. But now, since I've been on the scene, Proverbs says, you're a wise person when you realize that we are created beings and God has a created order And he is passing along how life is supposed to work to you. The Proverbs are given for correction and for discretion. And this is actually a part of the entirety of Scripture, giving us insider information so that you don't have to learn every lesson the hard way and trip and stumble over every banana peel. Question number two, who are the people of wisdom? Who are the kinds of people that really pursue wisdom? And here's the answer, those who humbly listen and learn no matter how much they already know. Verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. In other words, even seasoned veterans know that you never really graduate from the school of wisdom. So let the wise take the posture of being an ongoing disciple and learner. That's not to say that we should become flippant, like the book of Ephesians we'll talk about in the New Testament, constantly tossed back and forth. You never know where you stand, what you believe. But there is, within our posture, always an ongoing awareness that we're still students, we're still disciples, we're still learners. And the truly wise person wants to add to that bank of knowledge and add to that skill set. I was reading a book recently about Proverbs. And the writer told a story of being stuck in an airport. His flight was delayed, and he ends up in a conversation with a guy. He had shared the fact, the writer had, that he was a believer, and this guy began to just talk to him about how he was angry at God and blaming God for a lot of situations going on in his life. Now, let me just call a timeout and make a disclaimer. I fully understand that there are times when you can do everything right from your perspective and really pursue something in wisdom and it not work out. The economy falls out, you lose your job, you can try really hard in your marriage, but you're married to somebody that doesn't try hard. I've said often that I have some really, really good friends who've gone through a divorce and they worked much harder on their marriage than I have on mine. So I fully understand that. Now, back to the story. So this guy in the airport's having a conversation with this guy. They're waiting for a flight. And this guy's just telling him how he's blaming God for all these things that have gone on in his life. And finally, the writer said, look, I don't know you well, and I'm not making any accusations, but might I just ask you a few questions? You've told me that your ex-wife is just a horrible, evil person. But may I ask you something? What was your relationship like with her before she became? I mean, were you faithful to her? Did you speak kind words to her? Were you angry? Were you abusive? Did you do some really foolish and stupid things that would have weakened your marriage? And the guy said, well, yeah, I did, but hey, nobody's perfect. Then he said, now you've talked to me about some of your financial issues. Again, I'm not trying to accuse, but may I just ask you some questions? Are you in the habit of spending money that you don't have? And really leaning into credit cards and spending money you don't have? Are you into impulse buying? See it, like it, gotta have it. He admitted that, yeah, he does that. And then he said, now, you're frustrated now because you're having difficulty latching on to a new job. But let me ask you something. If I were to call your three previous employers, would they give me a glowing report about your work ethic and your attitudes? And he admitted that, no, in fact, he basically walked off his last job because he didn't like his boss and told his boss that in so many terms. And then this guy, the writer of the book, says, look, I just don't think it's fair for you to blame God in these situations. I just don't think it's fair for you to blame God for any of these problems that right now you're blaming him for. Because the Bible says, if you sow folly and foolishness, you're going to reap some heartbreak. And it seems to me that you have sown plenty of folly and foolishness, and now you're reaping a predictable harvest. Here's the good news. You can enroll in a school of wisdom. Here's the good news. God can forgive you of all of that foolishness, and then you can also enroll in a school of wisdom and begin to plant good seeds that might produce a better harvest. Over the next few weeks, all we want to do is just keep enrolling in the school of wisdom and listen to what this wisdom literature has to say to us about life. Now, before we conclude today, point number three, and that is, what's the prerequisite to wisdom? And this is the theme verse in the entire book of Proverbs, and you know this verse. You've heard it. What's the prerequisite to wisdom? Answer, reverence for God is always wisdom's starting point. Reverence for God is always wisdom's starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or as one translation says, start with God, whatever you do. The first step in anything is learning to start with God and bow down to him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is that? What is the fear of the Lord? Is that a dread of God? Uh-oh, here's the Lord. He's out to get me. In Hebrew poetry, the second line explains the first. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is that? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What does it mean to fear the Lord? You welcome wisdom and instruction. You realize, okay, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to be taught. I'm willing to be coached. I am not the measure of all things. I am being measured. And it's this humility before God that says, okay, maybe I do need to grow in the management of my tongue, the management of my resources. And I'm willing to listen to what God might have to say to me. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. But a fool despises wisdom and instruction. C.S. Lewis said it well. He said, in God, you come up against something which in every respect is immeasurably superior to yourself. And unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud person is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. Today, will you in a fresh way decide that you want to walk through the doorway of wisdom and onto the pathway of wisdom? Now you say, now Ronnie, where's the gospel in all of this message? Here's the good news. Proverbs and all of the ethical and instructional teachings in the Bible. This is not moralism. Because you can read the Proverbs and go, well, I've acted foolishly so many times. But our great God, in his grace and mercy, forgives us of every act of foolishness, every act of pride. Jesus himself is the most humble person ever. And the cross of Jesus Christ is the most humble event ever. And to all of my points of foolishness and disobedience, the gospel of grace can forgive me to the uttermost. And the worst thing you've ever done can be completely forgiven and cleansed. Today, we came to the Lord's Supper. But hopefully you heard in the declaration of the Lord's Supper the message of pardon, of complete forgiveness and cleansing. Because the Lord's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. But listen, the grace of God not only forgives us, the grace of God also wants to protect us and lead us and shepherd us into wise living. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me as well. So will you lean into foolishness, despising instruction and wisdom, or will you lean into the reverence and the fear of the Lord and welcome his leadership?